Okay, church, go ahead and turn your Bibles. I want you in two spots. Go ahead and go to 2 Timothy. Just hang out in chapter 2 there for a second. We're going to be in chapter 3, but hang out in chapter 2 for a second. And then if you could put a tassel, I'm going to have you go back there twice. I want you to see it. As my brother Travis here was talking about the blessing of the church, we're going to see that truth in Acts 2. So put a tassel in Acts 2. And put, is that you, Josh Todd? Go ahead and put a tassel in Acts 2 and turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy. You know, as we were talking about running last week and how some miles are good and some miles are hard, for you guys today, there are moments in the church where I'm sure the praise team feels it and Sunday school teachers and, you know, my sister Jacqueline, you know, teaches a Sunday school class and she goes, this is the first time in forever I didn't have any kids in my class. And then there's times on Sunday where it's just, man, you can just feel it. And then there's times in the Sundays where you can feel it. And, you know, miles are harder for some. And a rainy, cold Sunday a few days after Thanksgiving might be a hard mile for you guys. And so there are times where you're probably tired from traveling. Some of you guys are probably still traveling. You know, you're tired, your house is a mess, you've eaten way too much. Like, you can barely get through the announcements, let alone a 45-minute sermon. And you go, oh, Hunter, just try to make this make sense to me. But listen to me, there is something beautiful and helpful about running hard miles. And so this would have been an easy one to take a knee and stay at home and stay in your pajamas and watch football. But you are here, and I praise God for it. I'm encouraged by it. And so in that context, go ahead and turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy and let's get ready to run. Look at 2 Timothy 2. And let's run well this Sunday. Look at God's Word starting with 14. Paul says to Timothy, remind them of these things. What things, church? Look at the few verses beforehand. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. Praise God. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. And Paul says, remind them of these things. Like, no matter if it's a few days after the holidays, no matter if you have family still coming over, no matter if your house is a mess or it's cold or it's raining, no matter your situation, remind the people of God of these things. It's why we exist. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourselves as proved by God, as a sermon by itself. A worker who does not need to be ashamed, praise God, rightfully divided the word of God of truth. Dividing the word of truth. But shun profane idle babbling, for they will increase to more ungodliness. And their message will spread like a cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are these sorts who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection has already passed, and they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His. Praise God. The Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also yourself from lust, but pursue righteousness. Will you highlight that? Flee also from youthful lust, but pursue righteousness. Pursue faith, pursue love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart, but avoid foolishness and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife and a servant of the Lord, but not must quarrel, but be gentle to all, be able to teach, be patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them to repentance so that they may know the truth. Verse 26, hang with me. And that they may come to their senses and escape the snares of the devil, having been taken captive by them to do his will. We go into chapter 3. This is where we are. Highlight verse 1. But brother, young Timothy, know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. Nothing to wake sleepy people up like the last days. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. So if you were with us last week, what did Paul say? He said, young Timothy, endure. How did we define the word endure, which I love and still in my mind today? It literally means not to strive, not to fight, not to win, because we already stand victorious for what Christ accomplished on the cross. What does it mean for man to endure? It's a commitment to exist. It means don't give up one fat foot after another, no matter weather, no matter situation, no matter sickness or in health, tragedy or prosperity. It means to exist in faith. Do not quit. Do not give up. Find strength in the gospel with your eyes, Hebrews 10 and 11, with your eyes fixated on Christ. I can do all things. How? Through Christ who strengthens me. This week, Paul says, but brother, know this. But brother, know this, that you live in perilous times. That the weather is not going to be good. That your opposition is going to be challenging. That what you are facing is difficult. You know what the word perilous means? It means a time of danger, a time of risk. And so not only does the man in chains in prison, Paul says, I'm probably not going to make it out of here alive this time. Not only does he say, hey, continue to pursue ministry, it's worth it. He goes, understand what you're going to be pursuing is going to be very dangerous. The end times are times of risk. Now, biblically, this time that is called the last days is misunderstood by many. And so before we jump in, this is not the sermon for you to understand the book of Revelation and when Jesus returns. That's not the sermon. However, we do need to have an understanding of those times that do exist and where we fall in them. And so when we read this, when you start talking about end times, you start talking about last days, like the human mind goes into like hours before Jesus returns. Our minds go to the book of Revelation. Our minds go to like this prophecy of like it all ending, but that's not what Paul is talking about. When Paul talks about the last days, he is talking about the then and there, the here and now. And so here's the truth, guys. You might not recognize it. And listen, it's not one man's opinion. This is biblical truth. You and I today, we live in the last days. So Paul is talking about 2023, but he's not just talking about 2023. He's talking to Timothy and says, brother, you're in it now. You're in it today. So how do we know this? Where do we see this? I want to slow it down because this is great historical information for your mind to understand the moment that you live in by the moment that they lived in. And so look at Acts. I told you to turn your Bible and have a tassel there. I want you to see it in Acts 2. This is really where he's referencing Old Testament scripture. This is really the first time we see this in the New Testament. It's really the birth, the beginning of the end of the last days. Look at God's word in Acts 2. Look at verse 17. This is Peter's sermon. In verse 17 through 21, it says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my flesh, my spirit, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, and on my maidservants and my men servants and my maidservants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heavens above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord, he or she shall be saved. So it's first spoken about in Acts chapter 2 in young Timothy. Paul says, brother, a few weeks ago, young man, if you are going to pursue godliness, you better have contentment, right? Like if you're going to pursue godliness in this environment, in this weather, if this is something that you are going to do, and you see my chains and you still pursue ministry, a life of faith, you better have contentment and not be distracted by the noise out the window, right? Last week, if you pursue a life of faith, that you will need strength. You are called to endure. Why, church? Because these are dangerous times that we live in. Please write it down. Wake up. These are hard miles to run. This is challenging. Go back to 2 Timothy. These are hard miles to run for believers and those who profess Christ. And even back then, what Paul would say to Timothy, that if you're going to pursue this, you need contentment, you need strength, you need endurance, because this is a risky life. Why so, church? What does he say in verses 1 through 5, chapter 3? But know this, young Timothy, that in the last days perilous times will come. How so? What is our opposition? What are we surrounded by? Think about your life today. For men will be lovers of themselves. Will you highlight all of this? We're probably going to read it three times. For men will be lovers of themselves. They'll be lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control. Highlight it twice. Brutal. Brutal. Despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying his power. So please hear me, church. Even though that we have been in the last days for quite some time, I personally truly believe that you and I are living in the peak of darkness today. And please hear me, like the world has been dark for a very long time, and there have been things in our history as a country and globally as our existence. We have had shameful times that are disgusting and nasty. Most of the things that we experience today are not new. They have been lived many times. However, just as you and I are getting older in each and every day, today is the oldest you've ever been. And in the same way, as this world gets older, we get more wicked and more sinful, and the world gets darker with each and every day. And I truly believe that today, in this moment, in this second, it has never been darker than the world that you live in. Paul says, understand the climate you exist in. That if you are going to be faithful, if you are going to be strong, if you are going to pursue ministry, if you're going to be a faithful mama and daddy and child and elder, if that is what you are going to be doing, you are going to be running miles in hard weather, and each and every mile is going to get harder. Understand, Timothy, the climate. This makes me think of the class that my brother Stoney, he's not here with us today, he's with his family in Louisiana. But he did a wonderful job. Most of you guys were in this class. He did a wonderful job of his study in creation. He still takes every opportunity he can to reference it. And one of the greatest points that he made, and honestly, guys, I don't know if I really ever thought about it. I don't even understand if I knew this before he spoke about it, was that man has not evolved in strength, right? Like this idea of like dumb caveman who can barely speak evolving to like very intellectual man who now creates the iPhone, and like we were very primitive and now we are literally at the intellectual top of the food chain. Like he said, that is not true, and that's not even what science shows. If anything, man is not evolving, man is devolving, right? You remember that point? that when you even look at the breakdown of how the body was constructed back then in brave waves, that man was actually more capable. That's why they lived longer and were healthier back then than they are now. Man is not growing stronger or more faithful or more intellectual. We're actually devolving as a human race. Well, the same applies to our culture. The same applies to our lifestyle. Like this culture that you live in, guys, the freest country in the universe, surrounded by every luxury that you can point out and grab, we are not evolving in peace. We are not evolving in wisdom. We are not evolving in intellect. We are not evolving in kindness. We are not evolving in harmony. This world grows darker by the moment. And here's the truth for you guys that are raising kids and kids that are hearing me with your own two ears. The one thing that we all have in common, if God gives you tomorrow, tomorrow will be darker than it is today. So when Scripture paints a picture of perilous times, understand simply that they've existed for many, many years, but you're living at the peak of it. As I read this for the second time, I want you now to just think about your normal. Think about your family. Think about your work. Think about your friends. Think about the people that you live life with. And I want you to see if you experience this on an hourly basis, for men will be lovers of themselves. Any of you guys experience people like this? Better yet, do you know anyone who is not that? It says men will be boasters and lovers of money. They'll be proud and blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal. Have you ever met anyone like this? Despisers of good, traitors and headstrongs and halters, haughty, lovers of pleasure and rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying his power. Guys, you know, please hear me out. You know that we live in perilous times, wicked climates, when that which is wicked has become normalized. Paul says in Scripture, young Timothy, understand, this is the wickedness that you and I are going to face. You and I hear this and go, man, that's par for the course. Like, Hunter, that's perilous times. Like, that's Monday for me. Like, that's Thanksgiving. Like when I was surrounded by family, like I could check all of those things. That is normalized in my life. Here's the truth. Our culture, write it down. Our culture spiritually is polluted with sin. That is the one word that kept coming to my mind and heart as I was putting my notes together. Our world, our climate, what started in the garden, which is reached today, is littered with sin. So much so that the filth that you and I live in spiritually has become normalized even to those who are faithful. If I read to you, like I just did, those few verses about what wicked, perilous time looks like in men and women, you weren't shocked by any of that because that's all you know. Those aren't perilous times. That's every day for me. Have you ever been into a dark room where you can't see the hand in front of your face? Like it's so dark, there's no light in the room. Like you can't see if someone was standing right in front of you. However, the longer you stay in that dark room, what happens to your eyes? They slowly adjust. And you go, man, there was a moment where I couldn't see, but now even though the room has no light in it, my eyes have adjusted and now it's not as dark as it once was. But listen to me, the room is just as dark. It's your eyes that have become normalized. That's the world that you live in. Have any of you lived in such filth or have family that have? Such literally physical filth. Dirtiness all around you, and not because they can't afford to clean, but literally out of laziness. Have you ever walked into a family member's house that is so filthy and you look at the family member or you look in the mirror and go, how do you live like this? And they go, live like what? Do you not see how dirty and nasty your home is? No. What do you mean? That's the world that we live in. perilous times is normalized. That's the world we exist in. For many of you in this room, guys, this is all you've had in your life. Like, I read you all the negative and you go, I've never known anything other than this. Like, I've never seen a selfless man. I've never seen a humble woman or a peaceful family. Like, I've never had that in my life. Can you count? Can you start to list the type of men and women in your life that you would say fit that description? Humble, God-worshiping, lover of the Lord before lover of self. Giving to the church in kind and humility, seeks peace. How many of those men, get a pencil and get a piece of paper. Let's stop the sermon for a moment and write the names down. Let's see who wins. You've been alive for a long time. You've met a lot of people. How many of you put in on that list? God before pleasure, that's a thing? Isn't it scary to you that perilous times don't even seem risky? Perilous times don't seem dangerous because this is all that we know. Guys, listen to me. Spiritually speaking, please hear me out. We said this in Ephesians. Paul says it in chapter 1 and 2, that you and I were born dead. We were born in the graveyard. From your first breath, we were destined for hell. We are sinners from the beginning. We are born in the graveyard, but even after salvation, we live in the dumpster. You hear me? And if you're like, no, Hunter, I don't think so. 100%. 100%. When it comes to spirituality and faith in this country, in this world, it gets darker by the moment, no matter if your eyes have adjusted to it or not. We're polluted. And Paul looks at Timothy and he says, brother, with a man who is in chains, if you are going to be faithful, understand the climate in which you work in. As you live in the dump, what you and I do, please hear me out, we coexist with zombies. Like, they walk and they talk, but they're very much still dead, right? I was talking to one of my kids about this. Have you ever seen, and I've never really been into it, but I get enough of it to understand the concept. You ever seen one of those zombie shows or zombie movies? And you have all of these people. Let me ask you a question. What populates most of the world, the living or the dead? Oh, it's the dead. The living is this small little colony of people living behind barbed wire, coming out at late at night, just trying to survive, living in trees. The whole world is populated by the dead. Spiritually speaking, that's us. This is what Travis was speaking on. Praise God for the church. Why? Because we are surrounded by the unholy. We are surrounded by the unforgiving. We are surrounded by men and women with no self-control. This is a brutal climate. And what does it say? People having form of godliness but denying his power. Do you know what that means? It says, man, the zombies have learned how to dress like the living. It says you can't even spot them out that easily anymore. There's churches all across this country, there's churches in this town filled with people that have a Bible with their name on it, and they might cut a few checks and they have a few pair of khakis that they can show up on Sunday, but they are not living. There are churches all across this fine planet that God has given us that look like they are believers, but they are very much dead, right? Paul says, brother, you got to watch this. You got to watch this. True believers are a small group in the midst of a global pandemic of lostness. You hear me? And what does he say in verse 6? Keep reading with me. And four of this sort of those who creep into the household and make captives of gullible women loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so that some resist the truth, men of corrupt minds disapproved concerning the faith. Hang with me, 9. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifested to all, and also their ways. So please hear me out. If you got a highlighter, highlight the end of verse 5. What does it say? He says, with these kind of individuals, these zombies that you live around, that you coexist with, what does it say? And from such people turn away. It's a heavy statement for my young person in school, for my young married family, for my single trying to thrive in this climate, for my parent is trying to raise faithful children. When you're surrounded by the dead, what does Paul say? Brother, from such people turn away. Now, this is really hard for believers because understand, on the other side of the coin, Scripture is very clear that we are called to be a light in this darkness. We are called to love the lost, and we're called to see the darkness as an opportunity for ministry. But Scripture does not sway from the reality that it is very clear that there are moments that many of us have knocked on that door too many times, and it's time to brush our feet off and walk the other direction. Here's a hard truth. You guys in this room and me in the front here, we are surrounded by people that are not gospel-centered ministerial opportunities or encouragements to our faith. There are people that pollute our life that are not encouraging us to be faithful, but they are dragging us down. Many of us, we have people, some of you call family, that are polluting your life. And yes, in those opportunities, we should share the gospel. We should pray for salvation. But there are moments to dust the dust off, to brush the dust off, and to move forward. Paul goes, man, this existence is hard enough to run. Hey, please hear me. If you're a note taker, if you've lost me so far, hey, it's hard enough to run in good weather. Amen? You hear me? It's hard enough to run in good weather, let alone bad. I'm a past addict. I can't hang out with past or current addicts. If I'm an alcoholic, I can't hang out in the bar. I can't surround my people who don't love the Lord. I can't surround myself with people in verses 2 through 5. I'm alive. This is what Travis said. I'm alive. I can't spend all my time with the dead, right? They're polluting my life. Do you remember 1 Timothy and the call to spiritual exercise? Do you remember that sermon? Please hear me, church. These perilous times, you have to be even more committed to your workout plan. Let me ask you a question. Does your life reflect your knowledge of the times that you're in? That's a good question. Does your life, does your intentionality, your faith walk, who you surround yourself by, right? Hang with me. Does it reflect your knowledge of the times that you live in? Or are you just so normalized to sin that you don't even think that it is the last days? Do you surround yourself with godly people to help you in this race? Do you surround yourself with encouragement and people who can teach you? Do you surround yourself with other strong married couples because that is what you need in your life? Do you surround yourself with disciplines to help you understand Scriptures more? Do you surround yourself with those things that are blessing, those spiritual medicines? Because you know not only are you a sinner, but you live in wicked times. Do you understand this? Man, there are no days off. There are no days off because I am a broken down sinner in need of grace, but I live in perilous times. I live in perilous times. It should scare you. Listen to me. It should scare you that in verses 2 through 5, I read what perilous times looks like and you guys didn't flinch. Like it looked like everyone you knew. You know times are wicked when the worst is normalized. But here's the good news. This is the good news, and I think that is so amazing. Once again, information that I didn't really put together until this week. I knew it existed, but I didn't know how close it was and what God was doing in the midst of it. Go back to Acts 2. God knew the times that Paul and Timothy and you and I would live in. He knew that it would get darker by the second. It shows God's goodness and his love for people who would commit to running. Because the end times began in Acts 2, but you also know what began in Acts 2? It is the birth of the New Testament church as we know it today. So I want you to see this in Acts 2. Kids, stay with me. Look at chapter 2, verses 46. Or you know what? Start with 40. Start with 40. I want you to see this. In chapter 2, we read that a second ago. I want you to connect the dots. In Acts 2, it says that these are the last days. This is day one. This is the beginning of the end. And in the same chapter, we have the birth of God's church. You think that's an accident? What does it say in verse 40? And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized that day, and there were about 3,000 souls were added to them, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together. This is the birth of the church. And had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had a need. Hear me out, church. This is new territory for them. So continuing daily with one another, according into the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. You and I were born in the graveyard. We live in the dumpster, but for God has provided the safe haven and shelter of his church. And write it down. This is God's provisions. This is not heaven. This is not glory. This is the dumpster. But even in the midst of the dumpster, God provides for those that he will call his. And you see the gift of the church. And so as man continues to sin, as man continues to pollute, as man continues to be surrounded by the dead, as you and I live in the dumpster, God provides the church for shelter. Today, guys, for so many churches, there's an obligation that many of you feel like you probably need to do. Back then, it was survival. It was for survival. They knew the times that they were in. They were experiencing it firsthand. They saw the zombies for what they were. The church was a gift. Do you see it that way? And I don't care if it's raining, snowing, what it is outside. If it's 2 a.m., you better be here. This is spiritual AA for the broken. You need this. You need small group. You need Sunday school. You need discipleship. You need the fellowship of believers. God gave it to his people exactly the time that they needed it. Do you see it, church? So even in the midst of this hard weather to run in, God showed favor to his children. Now, as we close here, I want you to see the parallel to the two men. As we close, look at 2 Timothy verses 10. I love this parallel to the wicked man that Paul speaks about and the faithful man that is hard to find. He says, Timothy, the world is going to be polluted with the dead, the walking dead. But there are still men and women who are alive out there, even though they might be hard to find. Listen to what he says in verses 10 through 15. But you, will you highlight that? Just those two words. If we had a title for this sermon, that's what we would have called it, but you. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, love and perseverance, persecutions and afflictions, which happened to me in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, with persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Highlight this for me, but the evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse. It does not get better. deceiving and being deceived, but you must continue in the things in which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. For all my parents that are trying their best to raise godly children, Paul goes, you have known this from infancy. Stay faithful. You know the truth, right? You have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through the faith which is in Christ Jesus. I love this parallel. He says, brother, understand that the world is polluted with idol-worshiping lovers of self, but there are still faithful men living in the dumpster. The evil men and women will get worse and worse and worse and worse, but you. But you. This is a word, as we close, this is a word that all of you need this morning. But you, even though you are outnumbered 100 to 1, but you. For my young person in high school, I know that everyone is living foolishness and they are vulgar, and no one in this day and age ever still waits for marriage and holds on to their purity. I know that's par for the course, but you. Like, I know that is what we are surrounded by, but you. For my young family, raising children, I know every parent is just trying to raise children that fit in and are popular and are literally accepted by the world, but you. I know we're teaching our kids to love everything of this dump that we live in, but you. I know for my young person that runs after the mighty dollar and tries to pad up their treasures here on earth, but you. I know everybody else hates to run in bad weather, but you. You stay faithful. Endure, find strength in the gospel. This is how we close. Look at verse 8 in chapter 1. This is how we end. But you, flip with me one more. I believe you can do it. Chapter 1, verse 8, starting with, but share with me. But you share with me in the suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. But now He has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life to immortality and light through the gospel, to which I appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason, I also will suffer these things, but you. But you, I know you're outnumbered, but you, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep what I have committed to Him until that day He returns. Church, stay faithful. You are outnumbered. The weather is not favorable. Praise God for His church. It was given as a gift on purpose at the right time. Lean on other brothers and sisters that run and endure. Endure. Let's bow our heads. God, we thank You for today. Lord, let us see the times that we live in. Lord, it scares me to my core that perilous times seem normalized. If I want our people to hear one or two things at the very beginning, I want our eyes to be open to the fact that the wicked days that we live in at the peak of sin do not even seem scary to us. That is how dark it is. Our eyes have adjusted to darkness for so long because we were born in it. Everyone in this room was born in the last days. So Lord, let our eyes be opened. Let our eyes and our hearts receive the need of the gospel and the need of a Savior. That you and I were also walking dead, but we were saved from the great graveyard, given life by a Savior. Lord, I pray that as we continue to coexist with these dying zombies of this life, that we praise God for your church. That in Acts 2, you know your word, that as the end started, the beginning did as well for your New Testament church, and that was on purpose, Lord, and we thank you for it. Let us encourage one another, love one another. Iron sharpens iron with one another. Lord, continue to be with our young kids. Keep them faithful and their eyes on you. Let us hold on to the gospel and pray for those that are in need. And in your precious name, the church says in harmony, amen.